Good morning.
Good morning.
Our first scripture reading for this morning is going to be coming from the book of Zechariah, and this can be found in your pew Bibles on page 1470. And we're going to be reading chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. The coming of Zion's king. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. I will bend Judah as I bend my bow and fill it with Ephraim. I will rouse your son Zion against your son's Greece and make you like a warrior's sword. Our next reading is found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, page 1827 in your pew Bibles. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and in earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And our last reading for this morning is found in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 through 44. And that would be found on page 1631 in your pew Bibles. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Debbie. Welcome to this Palm Sunday. What a wonderful thing it is to be here and to see so many wonderful faces here this morning. Why don't we begin with prayer? Father, as we enter this house today, we come celebrating, just wondering how you could be any more promising to us and for the gift that you have given us through Jesus. Be with us here this morning. Open our hearts and minds so we might know your will and live in Easter's grace. We thank and praise you in all things. In Jesus we pray. Amen. A tickle in my throat this morning. Okay, put on your thinking caps. So imagine if you just bought a brand new BMW, had 200 miles on it, and you're coming to church one morning, so you decide to stop at the bank, and you're going to get a little cash out of the automatic teller, and while you're doing that, a couple of guys walk up to you, and they look at you, and they say, we've come to borrow your car. You know, our master, he's going to take it. He's going to drive down Main Street. We'll get it back to you in about 3 hours. What would your response be? You know, I bet most of you just say, I don't think so. Or maybe you just turn and run for your car. I don't want to be near these guys. They must be crazy. Or maybe you'd be a little nicer and you'd say, and so what guarantees do you bring that you're going to bring my car back? Or it's not going to be damaged? You got insurance? Or maybe you wouldn't be quite so nice. You'd be like Bill. I can hear Bill now. Says, just get out of here. Or maybe you'd be like Joyce and she said, you know, there's a rental place right up the street. Well, can you imagine the owner of this donkey when two disciples show up? Two guys they had not known. Sorry, Ron. I mean, think about it. So they show up, and the donkey owner, he's looking out his window, he's saying, what are these two idiots doing? They're untying my donkey. They're going to take my donkey. So he comes out the door. He comes running out the door, and he says, what are you guys doing? What? This is my foal. And these two guys look at him and says, the Lord needs it. And off they go. He doesn't question them. When I first read that, I got thinking, now who in their right mind would do that? Why would they do that? Why does it in Scripture? It tells us twice. We read that phrase, the Lord needs it. What kind of lesson does that teach us? The more I got thinking about it, I got thinking, you know, I think it really teaches us a couple of lessons. And probably the first lesson it teaches us is we need to trust the Lord. I only can believe that the owner of this donkey had heard about Jesus. Or maybe it was all that whole area. They were so looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. This guy might have thought, okay, the Lord, he must need it. He must be the Messiah. This is it. And he let him have the donkey. Just because he says the Lord needs it. But I got thinking in my state of mind, I got to thinking about that old story about the guy who's out hiking one day, you know, and he's alongside of a cliff. All of a sudden, the ground goes out from under him. He's falling down a cliff. He grabs a branch, and he's holding on for dear life.
and he starts crying out, "Help! Help! Is anybody up there?" He listens. And all of a sudden he says, "Here's, I'm here." "Well, who's that?" He hears, "I'm the Lord." He's a little surprised. He says, "Say what? Who's there?" "I'm the Lord." He says, "Can you help me?" He says, "Yes, just do what I tell you. Let go of the branch." The guy pauses a little bit and he's thinking, wait a minute. "Who's this again?" "It's the Lord." "What do you want me to do?" "Let go of the branch." So he hesitates and and pretty soon he comes, "Is there anybody else up there?" Isn't that the way we'd be? We have a hard time trusting the Lord, don't we? For our hymn coming up, I was going to bring a copy down with me. So when I'm finished here, we're going to sing this song. You're going to see it, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." How many of you know it? It's a favorite by lots of people, right? Look at the refrain. "Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him." Do you believe any of this? Do you follow any of this? "How I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more." What's Easter's grace all about? It's all about knowing who to trust. Knowing about the authentic Christ who is here. The one who came and gave himself to die for us. But it's more than just trust, isn't it? We need to be able to follow instructions, don't we? Think about it. So the disciples, they were the borrowers. They go and they come to the donkey owner. And they're taking his donkey away. But they had to follow instructions, otherwise they would have had trouble, wouldn't they? Because when they were asked, what did they say? "The Lord needs it." And all was well, and it didn't seem to make sense, did it? It had to be a risky business. I think about the disciples, if you're one of them guys. All of a sudden, so, "Okay, Lord, we're going to a strange place. I don't know this guy. We're going to just go take this donkey out the street. We're going to untie him. But what do we say if somebody comes out?" Well, here comes the owner now. I wonder what kind of look was on his face. He had to be a little bit surprised or flabbergasted. It's like, what in the world are these guys doing? But all of a sudden, when the guys say, "The Lord needs it," they were what? They were following instructions, weren't they? They were following what they knew they were supposed to do. As I thought about that, we all come up with excuses, don't we? We have an excuse for not doing what we're supposed to do. Well, I found an article that was in the Associated Press that carried a story about notes that teachers receive sometimes. I'm certain you guys have probably seen them. You were teachers. It says, "Please excuse Fred for being," wasn't his fault, it's his father's. Or another read, "Please excuse Johnny from class yesterday. He had an anchor at his side." I read another one that said, "Please excuse Jim. He's been absent for 3 days because he fell from a tree and misplaced his hip." I really love this one. It says, "Please excuse Martha for being absent. She was sick and I had her shot." You know, we get confused and things get confused, but we have to learn that following the Lord is risky business. I think about early in my ministry when I first started my first church, one of my first churches. I was, as Mike Kessel, I usually go out and I stand and I greet everybody as they leave. Well, one day, one of my mentors had showed up and I was giving my message, and as normal, I went back and I was greeting everybody as they left. And when he comes through the door, he's shaking my hand. He says, "You know, this is a risky business, don't you?" I say, "What's that?" He says, "Well, it's a risky business being at the door with people leaving. He said, but I'm going to encourage you to keep doing it because you'll learn whether people accept your message or not, or maybe even learn some of their needs. So I've continued in that practice, but I think about it, and I really wanted to question him on it, why other pastors don't do that, why they think it's too risky. And he's looking at me, and he says, let me tell you a story. He says, so one time I was invited to speak at a women's group, women's meeting, and they had a big group. There was a lot of women there. He says, so I go there. And I go and I give my speech, and while I'm there, the chairperson decides to ask me if I would stand in the reception line as they were going out and as they would go into the meal or whatever. And he said, sure, I'll go. And he says, so I'm going, and must have went well because all the ladies are greeting me and smiling and telling me how wonderful it was. And he said, all of a sudden I see this little boy in line. And he comes up to me, looks me right in the eye. He says, your speech stunk. And seeing there was other women in line, is that so I greeted them and just kind of passed it off. Well, they're still there talking. I'm in line. And the next thing I see out of my eye, here comes this little boy again. He's in line. He finally comes up, gets his turn, comes up. He said, we've heard all your jokes before, and none of them were funny. And he leaves. And I'm kind of scratching my head, but there's still some women there waiting to talk. So he says, so I'm shaking their hands and we're chit-chatting. And I see this little boy get in line again. I'm thinking, oh man, what is going on? He says, so this little boy comes up in front of me. He looks me right at me. He says, you're never going to be invited back here again. And on he goes. And I'm thinking, well, he's too little to hit, and I'm too big to cry. So I guess we have to move on. So I finally get to the end of the line. Ladies come up. All of a sudden, I see this little boy coming up again. It's the fourth time. Well, his mom happened to notice him. And she comes running over and grabs him by the shoulders and over her shoulder, and she looks at him and looks at me and says, this is my son, Billy. Don't pay attention to him. He repeats everything he hears. Risky business. This following Christ, this trusting in Jesus, this following his instructions, precisely, it's risky. You know, but that's what we need to do. That's why we're here, isn't it? To learn what we are to do. What are we supposed to do with Palm Sunday? We had that question. We talked about it this morning in Sunday school, if you've been with us. We had an interesting look at how we all perceive what Palm Sunday is. But as I got looking at the participants and how they did everything, I really wanted to take a moment just to look at the lender. What do we learn from the lender when he's told the Lord needs it? Now, we're not told much about him other than he was the owner of the donkey, and he questioned the disciples. So what's the real lesson we need to learn from him? I think the lesson is that we're needed. We often forget that. The Lord needs our services. He needs our help. And he calls on us to serve him because we're needed. We need to trust him. We need to follow his instructions, but we're needed too. No matter who we are, and sometimes we don't think we have anything to offer, but yet the Lord needs us, needs our service. And he's done so in all the scriptures. He gives us all kinds of examples. So think about Zebedee. You know who Zebedee was? Zebedee was the father of James and John. So can you imagine when Jesus called James and John to be disciples, and they're fishing, and all of a sudden they give up fishing. They leave their dad with the nets and say, sorry, Dad, but we're going to go follow Jesus. They were needed. And they were willing to do that. And look, wonderful things happened. Maybe you'd like to think about Peter's wife. Think about Peter's wife. I can just imagine Peter coming home. He said, well, hon, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm giving up fishing. So long, farewell. Avidezay. See you later. What do you think she was thinking? But Peter was called, became the rock. Maybe you think about the little boy in Galilee who gave up his lunch because his lunch was needed. He gave it to Andrew, and Jesus fed a multitude with it. It was needed, and he was willing to give it up, just like the donkey owner. We can learn a great lesson from this story just in the phrasing, the Lord needs it. When you leave here today, what's he going to ask of you? And when he does, and you're almost ready to say, I can't do that, I want you to think of one thing. I want you to think about, what the disciples say to this man, this owner of the donkey? The Lord needs it. Without questioning, you need to let it go. Because the Lord needs you. He needs you to share, to care in all that you've been given with others around you. Because the Lord needs it. I think of those words when we read from Zechariah. He said, rejoice greatly, because you're needed. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey. Think of what Paul said. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God be something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. The Lord needs you. He needs me to be his representatives, to show the world what faith and trust in God can do. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this wonderful day, for this opportunity. We thank you especially for sending your son to give of himself. Help us to realize when you call, saying, the Lord needs it, that we're willing to be like the lender, just to open up to you and give all that is required. We ask you to bless us, be with us this week. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.